Hey everybody, thanks for joining. We're here at the Reactor Space and I have a really awesome guest today. His name is Hai. So hello, Hai.
Hello, Andrew. Hi, my name is Hai Carroll. I run events in San Francisco. I connect people in the tech community, in the nonprofit and homeless communities, and I run events and facilitate conversations.
Yeah, and Hai works out of this space quite a bit. We've gotten to be closer friends over the last couple months as we've seen each other around more and more. One of the events that Hai just kind of coordinated and one that he does often, it was Codacross. So what is Codacross and kind of how was your involvement in that started?
Sure, so Codacross has been around for 5 years. It was started by Code for America to, many cities, Codacross is an opportunity for people to come together one weekend in February or March and work together on challenges that are facing their city. In San Francisco, this was our third annual Codacross, and Codacross is organized in San Francisco by Code for San Francisco, which is a San Francisco brigade, and a brigade is a volunteer organization that's affiliated with but separate from Code for America. And so I was the lead organizer for Codacross in San Francisco this year.
Awesome, and it was a great event. We had a ton of different volunteers working on awesome data sets. What was it like planning an event of that magnitude and with that many volunteers and the city and CFA and Microsoft? How did you kind of balance all that to come together to make such a great event?
Thank you, Andrew. Yeah. So we aimed for 100 people in this space to really sort of take up the Reactor space, but not to feel too cramped. In the end, on a very rainy day, we had 97 people in the space working on projects. So what went into planning it? It was conceiving of the event. So we knew how the event had gone in previous years. In previous years, 2 years ago, it was about housing data, and the entire event was about looking into housing and affordable housing data in San Francisco. This year, we were really excited to have a data science working group who had just started within Code for San Francisco. So we really wanted to empower this group and give them an opportunity to show off their work and to bring in new members. So we actually designed three tracks for this event. There was the data science track, which involved the data science working group in close collaboration with the city of San Francisco. Joy Bonaguru, the chief data officer of the state of the city of San Francisco, and her program manager for the Open Data Program, Jason Lally. They're both consistent attendees at Code for San Francisco, and they were on hand to assist the data science working group of exploring San Francisco data. That was just one of the three tracks. Mm-hmm. Another major track, of course, was the projects track. That's what Code for San Francisco does. We work on projects every week, and we have people that come, and week after week, or 2 weeks a month, or whatever, they go on long-term working on projects and creating tools for people to actually use in San Francisco and to make the city a better place. So we, of course, had the project track of people starting new projects and working on existing projects. The third track was the unconference track. For people to come to Code for San Francisco or Codacross, they don't have to write code. Mm-hmm. We can have designers, project managers, engineers working together. But we can also have people talking about subjects that are important to themselves and the community to really try to understand the problems that the city and the community are facing, which then may lead to coding projects or other types of projects that come to solutions. But so we had this whole third track, which was about conversation and bring experts together with members of the community to explore these subjects.
What were some of like the big things that came out of that third track? Because it sounded like it was very conversational and kind of talking about issues. What became of that? Did anything blossom out of that unconference style of the Codacross?
There was one project in particular that actually a project that arose out of that unconference. There was a healthcare track where people were talking about challenges in healthcare and with health insurance. And this one group was thinking about the process of applying for health insurance in San Francisco and in surrounding counties, and basically the complexity of the forms and the applications and all the different applications that different people would need to go through. This is not thinking about healthcare at the national level or even at the state level. This is actually applying to sort of local health insurance plans, especially ones that are for people with low income. And basically what they explored and discovered from the experts within this track is there's such a confusing slew of applications out there that what they wanted to do was to create a flow chart of what different people with different characteristics, which applications would be relevant for them. And so they brought together a team that's going to try to create this flow chart to understand that landscape of forms and then imagine, can they create a technology solution to make it easier to navigate that landscape of forms and applications.
Cool, and they're taking that out of the code across context, and they're starting to do this in the Brigade as well?
Exactly, they're taking this from the unconference. They started in the unconference kind of exploring ideas around this and brought together some people who are excited to actually work together and come together in the Brigade.
Cool, so how many people at this, at code across, would you say this was their first time doing some sort of civic tech engagement?
It's very hard to know in civic tech in general because we don't necessarily know that much about the history of people coming into this. Specifically, people who Code Across was their first connection with the Brigade and had not come to Brigade events or previous Code for America or Code Across events, somewhere around 25 or 30 of the attendees at the event, this was their first connection into the Brigade.
Awesome. So like 30% you're able to engage in the community that had not yet come to specific a Brigade event that you had known. That's pretty cool engagement and bringing on there. What do you think some of the main drivers for people working on this data set were?
For people working on the healthcare data set or the data science working group?
The data science working group.
Yeah, so the data science working group is a lot of people that want to improve the community and want to help make San Francisco a better place. We also have people who are just learning data science and using this as an opportunity to learn from other data scientists. But basically this desire to help is really pretty deep within this group. And so people come, they want to collaborate with other data scientists, mm-hmm. but to dig into existing projects or existing city data sets to this strong desire to just kind of to make things a little better or to spread understanding to more people.
Yeah, that's cool. I really think it's a great event that was thrown here. Obviously, it went well. We're a couple days past that now, and still learning more of what kind of happened there and how much it affected people. So, what would you say if other people are watching this in different cities or here in San Francisco, and they want to plan an event like this? What do you suggest that they do to get started?
So, for getting started on an event like this, for example, Code Across. Code for America actually creates a very good event organizers packet, which they have on their website, which was a really nice aid in getting started with this event. Specifically, starting early, picking a date early, looking for sponsors very early so to have an idea of the budget for the event, and finding a space. For example, the Microsoft Reactor of a really nice, reliable space that then you can kind of imagine what the scale of the event is to match well with the space. But a large part about planning the event was about empowering and coordinating others. For example, this data science working group and the city Open Data, giving them some guidance of some questions of what we wanted them to work on, but then empowering them to design their sessions and how they were working with people was really wonderful. It sort of was sort of a load off of my mind as organizer, but also we got a better event by allowing these people who were excited to work on it to work on it. So that was the data science track. Certainly having our project launch team, Larry and Jacob, working on the projects track with some help from Jesse and Trent. And then on the unconference side, really having Laura, Elena taking the lead with Susan Clark assisting her with that made a big difference in helping those tracks to run really smoothly.
Well, thank you, Hyatt. I can't wait to see what's next. You're always up to something, so the next event I'm sure is going to be just as good as the last, if not better, and I'm really looking forward to see how that goes.
Cool. Thank you, Andrew. Yeah. I really enjoyed our conversation and the opportunity to share details about Code Across, and we're really excited for National Day of Civic Hacking that's coming up June 3rd to 5th. all around the country, around the world, and right here in San Francisco.
If you're ever in San Francisco, feel free to stop by the Microsoft Reactor or the CFA headquarters on Wednesdays, or come to the National Civic Day of Hacking and say hi to both Ty and myself. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Gabby. We are here today at Code Across with the founders of Shelter Tech. So if you guys could tell me, what exactly is Shelter Tech? What is your goals? What are you trying to do with it?
Okay. Well, the story is, after moving in San Francisco a few months ago, we realized homelessness is such an issue here. But a lot of people in the tech community don't know anything about homelessness. And so that's where I met Darcel, and we decided, you know, there's a lot we can do if you bring those two worlds together. Right. And so Shelter Tech is a nonprofit that, on the one hand, rolls out free Wi-Fi in all the homeless shelters of San Francisco and beyond, and on the other hand, builds a mobile service, so an app that will give, that will direct the homeless community to resources that are available to them, advise them on what is the best way to exit homelessness by being a simplified case manager. And on the long run, our objective is really to have those two communities of sheltered and homeless really start to, you know, coexist finally in the city.
Oh, that sounds great. So here today, specifically, what aspect of Shelter Tech are you working on?
Working on our resource app, which is basically we're putting all the services that low-income or homeless people might need in one place, which is on the app, or it's the app that's on the phone. You know, they got a lot of these Lifeline phones where people can get free phone service. So they have access to technology now, so we need technology to help them. One of the things that, the major things that Shelter Tech is about is bringing technology to poor people. There is a digital divide. And we want to bridge that gap between technology and low-income people and techies and homeless people. They need to come. The only way you're going to solve the problem is bringing people together.
Okay, so for the app that you guys are working on today, what are the main components of it? Like
It has, I think, six tabs, right?
Yeah.
One is for shelter, one is for food, one is for medical services, one is for legal services, and another tab is for job training.
Okay.
All those services are free. That's what makes this different than anything, well, stuff you can Google on the internet, is all these services, because of who they're for, they're absolutely free.
I have Ben. Ben is from Code for America, and he's going to tell us what he's working on today. So, Ben, let's get started. You know, let us know, what are you working on? What are you doing today?
So today I brought a new project. It's called PDF Hook, and it's a Python library that helps developers automate filling out PDF forms.
Okay, so what exactly is the inspiration for this? Where is it coming from? What do you want it to do for the people? How do you want it to benefit the people?
So in a lot of projects at Code for America, where we've been trying to help out different services, there's a common need to help agencies move out of a paper process. In order for them to move out, they need something that can integrate with their paper process and often fill out the forms that already exist.
Okay. So can we get like a good example, like to get the people really understanding what the real impact of this project could be?
Yeah. So right now, we are trying to get a project off the ground with the San Francisco Public Defender. They have a clinic once a week. It's 2 hours on a Tuesday morning that helps people deal with their past criminal record. In order to go into that clinic, you got to take time off and go in on a morning to do this. And this is all in the hopes of getting access to better jobs and being able to get housing. They currently need to do this through a paper process. And if they could have a web form, for example, that filled out their intake form, then that would mean they could help more people, and people could apply anytime on their own from their own phone.
Okay, so can you tell me the moment in time where it was like, boom, this is what I want to do, or like, boom, this is a great idea, why hasn't anybody thought of this before?
I guess what hit me was last year when I was working on a project in Virginia on trying to get improve access to healthcare for people that are under the poverty line. I was working at the charity care agency, and I've been shadowing them all day, and they currently, if people want charity healthcare for basic services, They have to apply through this paper process, primarily through the mail, that can often take 4 to 9 months to get through. And they expressed a wish. They just wished they could have some basic form or way to do intake that would automatically fill out their forms. Okay. And I was just like, that would be huge. Tons and tons of people need this.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, good luck today on this. It sounds like a great idea. And I feel like we all definitely need this because we all at some point have to do paperwork, whether it's for a new driver's license, TSA pre-check. So this will be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabby.
Good luck.
Hello, everyone. My name is Gabby. I'm here with Dory and Adam. And we are here today for Code Across, and we're going to discuss something really new and unique that could possibly really help the healthcare system. So can you guys kind of tell us what your idea is?
Yeah, so basically one of the biggest challenges in the healthcare space right now, especially impacting San Francisco residents and the San Francisco County and city, is that it offers an abundance of programs that people could be potentially eligible for when it comes to health insurance or health coverage. But there's so many programs and there's so many different rules on how to get these people enrolled into these programs that there's no simplified way to identify and pre-screen these people for these programs. So today I came here essentially with that issue and in trying to come up with a solution on how we can create some sort of system or calculator that would easily help calculate the information that is required to enroll into these programs.
Okay, so so you come from a different background than Dory, right? You guys are part of two different things. So can you tell me how you guys are going to come together and create this product?
Right, so we are in actually on the healthcare as well, but we are in the population health. Mm-hmm. And so our job is actually creating the processes to automate data gathering and automating the reporting processes and also coming up with different kind of programs mm-hmm. in order for engaging people and patients. And I think what we're coming together here is we could automate some of the operations, the manual operations that they have now, and they could insert a new programs and incorporate the new ideas into their programs to expand their programs.
Awesome. Okay, so moving forward, I guess from today, you know, you guys are getting your ideas together and really kind of pushing it out. What is your goals for this project now?
So the goals for the project are to actually end up with a tool that we can pilot at our organization where we actually help connect people to these different programs that are available in the city. Mm-hmm. And again, it is a very manual process in terms of pre-screening and coming up with these calculations that are attached to these complicated eligibility rules. So the end goal is to actually have that tool that we could use that will result in less human error and a more efficiency in the enrollment process in general.
Okay, so let's talk about what are the benefits for the people, just the people, what are the benefits as a whole, like for the people who are trying to get enrolled in healthcare? How will this help them?
Sure, so the biggest benefits to those that are attempting to get enrolled, it should really simplify the process in that their ability to come in and maybe not have to sit for a 2-hour appointment mm-hmm. could be shrunk down substantially to maybe, you know, 30 minutes to a 45-minute appointment because the calculation will now be automated electronically as opposed to being done manually. And then also it will be more accurate. People will be given upfront more accurate information so that they can make better informed decisions about their health.
That's great. Yeah.
Hey, checking back in from the Code Across hackathon happening here at the Microsoft Reactor. I was outside looking at some different groups, and I found one that was working on some data science, and not only data science on their project here, but they actually do data science as a group within the San Francisco Brigade. So I thought it'd be interesting for you to learn a little bit more about them and what they do and how they've kind of made a transition from being just brigade members to being kind of like an internal consultancy around data science in the actual brigade. So Matt, if you want to go ahead and start, introduce yourself and let people know kind of what you do.
Yeah,
on
sure.
The team.
So my name is Matt Pancha. I'm the lead data scientist here for the data science working group in San Francisco. And I'm a mathematician by trade and now working as a data scientist here in San Francisco. And we were looking to sort of do some more data science to help people out and help the brigade in general. So we sort of started that up, and that's where we are now. And these guys helped out.
Yeah, my name is Sanat, release manager at Day, but I came to the Brigade to really work on technology and social good. And I'm the co-lead for the data science working group, and really we focus on basically solving data science needs and problems for Code for San Francisco or San Francisco where appropriate.
Hey everyone, my name is Drew Calvillo. My day job is as a marketing researcher and strategist. I recently became certified in data science, and I wanted to put some of that into practice. At the same time, I recently moved to San Francisco, and I wanted to make some friends. And I came across these guys, and we had this, I think, cool idea to come up with a data science working group that could help out the other teams and maybe help out the city on occasion. And the rest is history, and hope you'll come and hack with us one day.
Cool. So the brigades typically work by you have a kind of a project group, right? So the project could be something like creating an app that works on your phone to help homeless people find shelters, things like that. So how did you kind of flip that on its head and say, we're just going to be a group that works only on data science? And how has that been received? Are you guys working with other projects and doing kind of helping them see the value of data science within their projects?
Yeah. I would say that, yeah, so there are like two classes of things that can happen here, right? So on one hand, there's a bunch of open data that exists for us to analyze and stare at. So there's a lot of interesting exploratory analyses that you might just do as an interested data scientist. But at the same time, there's a lot of projects that are existing already that could use the support of people that know how to do data sciences, mm-hmm. data science in general. So this can range from people that need like spatial data joined in an appropriate way, or just data cleaned up, or basic analyses done on the data to understand patterns, right? And these are things that it's not necessarily the case that the coders or developers that are working on these projects that exist already would know how to do or even know that they need to do it. So we wanted to sort of fill that in and say like, hey, if we see that there's a problem that we could help you solve, we'll do that. If you have a problem that you think we can help you solve, we'll do that. But at the mm-hmm. same time, we also wanted to create an environment where people can learn from each other and like flesh out data science stuff on their own. So I think we've managed to pull that together where we can we've already started helping out some of these groups that have existing projects, but also we're coming up with some cool stuff on our own.
Yeah. I think part of that is that we actually started initially as a project on its own. So there's a lot of data science for social good work being done across the country, which is amazing. And we take a lot of inspiration from that. So one of it is we started with a kind of fire risk project to help try to prioritize fire inspections based on basically building data and fire incident data. And we started that project, and we were waiting on some data to come in, and all of a sudden Jude approached me, like, why don't we start a data science working group? And that's how we began. It was really cool because we have all sorts of projects, from mm-hmm. short-term projects to long-term projects, and we have different individuals in our teams leading those projects, so it's a really great way to get involved.
Cool. Well-received also, I would say. Yeah. People seem to be enthusiastic, from the city to just other people that are around.
What are some of the examples, or an example of a project team that you've helped out, and what's been your engagement for that?
There's a couple already that we've done. So we're still fairly young, but already there's been things we've been able to do. So one thing that I worked on was sort of joining together information about San Francisco streets to information about San Francisco curbs. So assigning information to curb segments that might exist, which you might want to think about for like parking reasons, to the actual standardized street segments that exist, which are ostensibly sort of laid out in the middle of the street.
Okay.
So say this was towards the end of developing something, ParkSafe, this project that had already existed, where they were interested in basically making a thing wherein you can put in your address and figure out if it's okay to park. And I don't know where you're watching this from, but in San Francisco, at least, that's an issue.
necessary.
Right. So the first thing you might want to do is to say, well, look, my street's in front of this curb segment. What actual like coded street does that correspond to? And that's a not super hard thing to do, but non-trivial and requires some GIS knowledge, right? So that type of thing. And there's also a bunch of analysis that we've done on the 311 data. So there's incident data from 311 calls placed in San Francisco, and various parts of the group have looked at various parts of it, but one thing
311 codes, that's vandalism, right?
So it's all sorts of stuff.
Okay.
So people will call 311 if like someone's like parking illegally or something like that.
So it's just a general line for people to call in and report something. Okay,
good. So that's a thing. Shout out to 311. You should go tell everyone about 311. It's a useful service. Understanding, right, so it's not just graffiti. So understanding what the sort of usage patterns of 311 is something that you can look at too. So I did a little bit of exploratory analysis, understanding by San Francisco neighborhood what the sort of distributions of call types look like and grouping this thing together. So, you know, maybe this sort of downtown areas use 311 in a particular way, and that's very different than the more suburban areas.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be a useful bit of information for the 311 people if they wanted to target areas for particular types of outreach, say.
Okay.
But other people have looked at other parts of that data as well.
Cool. And so other brigades that are looking at starting a data science group, any tips or pointers for them, or just do it?
Definitely that. Definitely just do it. If you have people around, you can do it.
Yeah, I think it's most important to just show the other teams that you're there for them as a resource, you know, and, you know, not trying to impose data science on them, and that what we bring to the table is substantially different from just programming, or not, you know, mm-hmm. not just programming, but, you know, it's substantially different. We can do inferential statistics, regression analyses, more advanced mathematics like Matt tends to do for us. And all these things can bring insights into your applications, can bring insights to your community and to the city that you're working within or with.
Yeah.
Also, I see this as a learning opportunity too, especially for people who are really new to data science and want to learn. And it really provides an opportunity to do this, especially looking at other cities and other data science projects that have been done. If you know it's been done somewhere else, it's really helpful to look at their project, how it was done, and kind of recreate it for your own city. And I think that's where we found a lot of the inspirations for ours.
There's no reason why just Atlanta should have good building inspections. So, you know, there's a lot of projects that have been done by people, and you know they can be done. So replicating those things is not just a good learning exercise, but is also actually a useful thing to do.
Yeah.
So that's a great collection of things to be able to check off at the same time.
It sounds like everyone's involvement previous with data science is a little bit varied. So it sounds like as a group, you guys even get to learn from each other as you work through these problems, which is pretty cool.
That's a big goal of the group, I think. It's to foster an environment where people of disparate backgrounds feel comfortable learning and participating with each other. And I know personally, I find it very difficult to learn things on my own, and it's very isolating and depressing trying to like understand statistics when you're just sitting in a vacuum and staring at a textbook or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you can work on a real problem with real people who also are very confused by the thing, which is almost always the case, then that's a much better environment to actually foster your own skills and other people's. So I think that's one of our big goals, and I think we're getting there.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thanks for taking some time out of your busy coding day to come talk to us and myself and everybody else out there. Go start a data science group within your brigade, or at least just go and get started with the brigade if you haven't done that before. These opportunities exist kind of all over the United States and even across other countries as well. So, thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Gabby. We're here at Code Across with Rocio and Catherine. They are daily goers of the Every Wednesday Hack Night that is sponsored by Code for San Francisco. So what are you guys working on today?
So we are working on a project called Impact Gov. Mm-hmm. Our mission is to measure the social impact of the San Francisco budget and come up with ways to reallocate the budget so that we produce more optimal resources for the government and provide them with actionable insights.
Okay, so can you kind of tell me how is your project beneficial to the people, I guess, of San Francisco?
Yeah, so when we think about services for the people, a lot of times we think about nonprofits that go out and volunteers that go out, but what people don't always think about is where these nonprofits and government agencies actually get their money and what they're capable of doing with that money. So we think of services for the people as a systemic, top-down view, where money that's coming down and decisions that are being made by the government ultimately impact what resources are available to service the people.
Okay. So I feel like, you know, with every project, there's a story, there's a way that it's come about, or somebody was like, yeah, I want to do this. So can you guys tell me what is the story behind how it became, the idea became, or, you know, how one of you guys got involved and stuff like that?
All right, so I'll tell the story for how the idea came about, and then Rocio can talk about her joining the team. So this was actually 2 years ago, and I lived in Chicago at that time, and I was just sitting in a Starbucks talking to a colleague about the economy and revenue and spend and how we can balance that. And guy who was sitting across the table who I didn't know turned around and he said, "Hey, are you a teacher?" And I said, "No, I'm not a teacher." And he said, "Well, I work for the Board of Advisors on the for the City of Chicago. And there's a lot of people in the team who are policymakers, lawmakers, but they don't know a lot. They're not trained in economics and finance. And so we're looking for people to come in and guide them in that." And at that time, this was probably the first time the thought of budgeting for a city even occurred to my mind. So I said, you know, I don't think I'm qualified necessarily to consult for them, but what I think that the city needs is data that's available for analytics and data that can be actionable for the city. And he really liked that idea. He held on to it. He sent me a lot of San Francisco Chicago Chicago budget data at the time, showing how property taxes are increasing, the fees for police and firearms are increasing, and he asked me to just think about what we can do to find solutions for that. And so at that time I started thinking about it, but I moved here to San Francisco and I joined Civic Hack Night, and I spoke to the people who worked for the city, and I realized that the budget data, the performance data was all available publicly online, and that the team here were really enthusiastic technologists who were ready to do the analytics on it, and so that's why we started ImpactGov.
Okay, so how did you get involved?
So I started going to the hack nights around the same time as Catherine, and I was interested in it primarily because I wanted to find a way to give back, but specifically like contribute my technical skills, since that's usually in short supply. And on the plus side too, there was a new data science team that's forming, and that's what I'm doing for a living these days, so I thought it would be a good way for me to develop my skills and contribute at the same time. And when Catherine pitched her project, it really struck a chord with me, and I thought it would be a really cool but challenging like project endeavor to take and try to like make sense of all this data, help them visualize it, provide what I can do to help, and I guess that's how I kind